Yeah, yeah, check 1-2, check 1-2. Is this mic on? Is this mic on? Hey, listen, man. It's the one and only trendsetter DJ Sense, and you're listening to Cocktails, Dirty Discussions with Kiki and Medina Monroe. Yeah.
Today's cocktail is called a Hottie Thottie. The ingredients you need for a Hottie Thottie is 2 parts Jim Beam Black, 1 part honey, 2 parts fresh lemon juice, 1/4 cup of hot water, and a lemon peel. So this is how you're going to make a Hottie Thottie. You're going to put the bourbon, honey, and lemon juice in a 6-ounce mug, top it off with hot water, and stir until honey is dissolved. Garnish with that lemon peel, girl. It's a Hottie Thottie. You guys, before we get started, I want to say welcome back to Cocktails. And also, Kiki is not feeling well today. She doesn't have a voice. It is not COVID-19 related. She's having some strong allergy issues. So she couldn't speak. She's here with us in spirit. Y'all wish Kiki to get better. So today it's just me and a very special guest. Her name is Rhonda Finling. Hey, hey, girl. I'm
so excited to be here.
How you doing? Okay. Rhonda and I had some technical difficulties trying to set up today's recording, but we got it together. So let me give y'all a quick little background. So Rhonda went viral on social media in a video with Offset. I ended up seeing it and I was like, that's my neighbor, bro. Like, I know that lady. So Rhonda is an author, a psychotherapist, and a rapper. You got some bars, Rhonda?
Do it right now? I'll start.
Oh, do you have some bars you can spit right now?
One or Don't Text That Man? It's your choice.
Oh, let's just do a snippet of Don't Text That Man.
If you want to hear his voice and he hurt you bad, don't text that man. Don't text that man. I know you're going to say that you love him, true, but I don't buy that bullshit. Do your friends, do you? Count 1, 2, 3, 4 to give you that time to close the door. Because if he's hurt you bad, you got to stay away. You know, these fucked up guys, they just want to play. They sit, it goes on and on. That's a snippet.
Oh, you know what? Don't text that man. And it's crazy because like the universe brought us together because I was upstairs one day on our rooftop. I was working and this sad song came on. And my eyes started to get juicy. I was about to cry and I was about to text 6-8 Bae. Y'all know who 6-8 Bae is. He did me dirty on my birthday last year. I need to don't text that man. I was about to text him. And then in my mind, this is before I knew Rhonda, I was like, don't text him. I go downstairs. I'm about to go inside. I see her in her hallway and she's like, excuse me, young lady, could you please come into my apartment and help me? She needed me to help her do something. It was like move a box. And I was like, of course I'll come. I go, I'm helping her move the box. We start talking. She tells me she's an author. She writes a book called Don't Text That Man. Then I told her my story. Y'all, it was just crazy because then we just started talking about the men in our lives that have hurt us. And even though we have an age difference, some of our stories were very like similar. So today we'll talk a little bit about like letting go of men and, you know, removing them from your life if you know that they're causing you heartache. But before we do that, Rhonda, I am curious to know, tell our listeners a little bit of everything that you do, the books that you've written, what type of therapist you are.
Well, I'm an everyday therapist. I don't really have a specialty in terms of I've seen couples, families, teenagers, children, adults, but I wrote a book in the 90s called Don't Call That Man. And I got on all these talk shows and that became a specialty only because when it got published by Hyperion, thousands, you know, I mean, I don't know, like so many people were calling me to have consultations and I quit my job. I was a staff therapist at Postgraduate Center for Mental Health in Manhattan.
Oh, you was making
that. Yeah, I just quit my job.
Like,
I had so many clients.
Now.
I didn't have time for a regular staff therapist job. And I started seeing people in the city and also in Queens. And my whole specialty became all the people who were trying to detach from somebody that they were either the person broke up with them and they were trying to let go of them, or they thought they were not in a good relationship and they wanted to detach from the person. So in either case.
Were most of those people women?
Most of them were women, although I do sometimes get men clients as well who are in some kind of pain going through a breakup, but it was primarily women, I will say that. No, it's not. Just... It's not that women have the problem more than men. It's just that women are more open to therapy. And also, I know from being, I have 7 books, although 4 of them are about relationships mm-hmm. and getting over people, whatever. But as a author, men just don't buy the book. Because I did write a book. I showed you the book. It's called How to Stop Being Your Own Cock Blocker. Mm-hmm. And it was a great book. And men mm-hmm. would tell, oh, that looks so great, but they weren't buying it. So I, we're bringing it back. Men were not buying
it. We're bringing it back. How to Stop Being Your Own Cock Blocker on Cocktails. Every Monday, we are giving you new bonus content. Turn up. Take a listen.
I guess because I'm a hoe, bitch. But I love me a little vodka soda lime. I like how you threw them cherries in there, baby.
Let me ask you a question. Do you think I'm a hoe?
Yes. Honestly, for someone who goes on 4 dates a week and loves to spend time with strangers and dips and dabbles into different,
but
you know.
But just because I go on a date, that does not partners. Mean I'm fucking. Let's be clear.
But you have fucked.
No, those 4 dates I went on, except for my ex, why'd I ask you this?
It's, you know, I say all my friends is hoes.
Yeah,
and you know, and if we really gonna talk about it, again, since this is bonus content, I want y'all to know how upset I am that I not only wore my mask in Mexico and got COVID, but Medina was out there kissing on couples and making out with people and letting them know that she was available.
Okay, so Rhonda, this game, it gets a little bit into your dating life, into your, you know, it just gets a little bit into your life. It's called Have You Ever. So Kiki and I have both just come up with a list of questions and you'll just answer yes you have or no you have never done this before. Some of our questions are a little wild. Don't be alarmed. Okay, so the first one. Have you ever had a sugar daddy?
Not really. No.
What do you mean not really? It's either a hard yes or a hard no.
When I was younger, in my 20s, a lot of guys, they would want to pay for things, but I never had one person and he was my sugar daddy. Maybe just guys would take me to like beautiful places or something, or, you know.
Oh, so you wasn't giving him no sugar. That's what you're saying. He was.
I wouldn't call it a sugar. I just wouldn't call a man. I never had a man who was a sugar daddy. So I'll say no. I'll say hard no.
Okay. So no. Never had a sugar daddy. Would you be open to having a sugar daddy? You're like, I can do it on my own.
I'm a feminist.
I can't.
I think when we talked personally, I told you that I've never been bankrolled by a man. I've never had man didn't pay for my college, my graduate school, nothing. So I'm used to always paying for myself. Well, I don't mean when I'm dating, I want a man to pay for me. I'm still a girl. You know, I want a guy to show me that he cares about me. So it's nice to be cared for, but I want to be, I don't want to have to owe somebody something that they did something for me. And now I'm obligated, you know, because of financial exchange.
I will give up that sugar for a daddy. Okay. Number 2, have you ever been cheated on?
Yes. Definitely.
So haven't we all? Yes. Like, why did I even put that on there? I'm probably currently getting cheated on. Okay. 3, have you ever cheated?
You know what? Wait a minute. Oh my God. I was going to say, I'm a loyal person, but you know what? I actually, I did a lot of wild stuff when I was much younger in my, I would say early 20s. I did. That's a hard yes.
As hard as yes. I definitely have cheated. I've cheated more times than not. I say it all the time. I am a cheater. I'm working on that. Okay. Have you ever been a side chick?
Yes. Yes.
You have?
How do you think I accumulated so much knowledge to write all these books? I mean, I had to go through so many things to accumulate all this knowledge, and then I would just psychoanalyze the whole thing, everything that happened to me and the men and my behavior, and then I would write books. So I did my own research. I did
so let me ask you something, because me and one of my girlfriends were having this conversation. Do you like being a side chick better than the main chick?
No, I'm very bad at it. I'm horrible at it.
You're horrible at being a side chick.
I get in trouble all the time.
What do you think makes you a bad side chick?
I end up getting demanding.
You don't play your role well.
I'm too demanding. I don't think I've ever been involved with a married man. I think maybe I may have been, and I didn't know he was married. It's possible, but consciously, with all the knowledge, you know, knowing up front, I've never been involved with a married man. That's always like my limit because I'm just too possessive. I don't mean I'm not a possessive person, but I don't like the idea of some man going to be with me and then go home to some other woman. It just makes me really angry.
So you were saying you were a side chick in the sense of he wasn't married, but he had a girlfriend.
He may have been like he was seeing. This is also such a long time ago, and was different sort of back then. But even the, I mean, like we would maybe be seeing different people, and then maybe the other woman took more priority than me. So it wasn't like his girlfriend per se,
and
I was a big secret. But definitely, she was like seeing him on Saturday night or something, and on the weekend, and he was seeing me during the week.
And you only got to see him,
but
like,
it
on
wasn't
Monday
like
night.
It was a big, super serious, committed relationship on their part. So in that sense, I have my standards.
Okay, that's definitely a side chick situation. Okay. Two more questions. Have you ever had a threesome?
You're not talking about that. No, I have not. It's really not on my bucket list. I don't know. I'm not attracted to women sexually. I'm only interested in men sexually. So why am I going to have a like, don't you have to be attracted to the woman to have the sex, you know?
I would say to have a successful threesome, the women should be attracted to women.
Oh, and there's another reason. This is even more important than that, because I'm a good actress. So maybe I could, could still, you know, get into the part if I really want to. This is the big reason. I would not be able to tolerate, oh my God, seeing some guy that I really care about having sex with some woman in front of me. I'm supposed to just watch him like fuck some woman. I mean, that would be like a nightmare.
Think that it's sexy. I'm actually
seeing
into
the guy that.
That
you care about and he's having sex with a woman. Oh my God. I mean,
it's
I'd
never
be like
been
going,
someone
like,
that
stop
I've been.
It. I'd be like, stop it. I would like, start here. Get off.
It would be Rhonda being there fighting. Okay, last one, Rhonda. Have you ever been a sugar mama?
I would say a sugar mom, because you know me with the cougaring thing, but...
No, that's not... Like, a sugar mama is... It doesn't have to be a cougar. You've been... Like, you was paying for stuff for a man. He was like, baby, I need a new watch. I need a new, some
oh,
new
no,
socks.
No, never,
and you're like,
no,
I got you, baby.
No, I have really good boundaries with money when it comes to men. I may have bad boundaries with men in other areas when it comes to money. No, I won't do it.
You said, I am not.
If a man, I don't care
I
how.
I am not.
Like, no, I just, it really upsets me. Like, it's like the thing I just said before. Like, I couldn't tolerate watching a man I care about having sex with a woman. And I couldn't tolerate the idea of, like, I gave money to this guy and then he went into, I don't know. I see some things I just can't tolerate.
No, I mean, that's one of the things that I'm not going to tolerate. And there are a lot of things that I am not going to tolerate. Okay, so that was our little game, Have You Ever. Thank you for playing that with us, Rhonda.
Oh, it was fun.
I wanted to back up really quick
this is like a therapy session, I feel like. Yeah,
is
I feel
it?
Like I'm having therapy. Like, I'm thinking about my life.
Oh, I love
I'm talking
that.
About myself.
So you guys, Rhonda's brother is Offset's attorney and Cardi B's attorney. And I think that's super dope. That's how she went viral with Offset. I forgot to mention that. Like, she made a remix to Bodak Yellow and she was singing it with Offset. Somebody recorded it and it literally went viral on the internet. I thought it was so funny because he was probably looking at you like, how does this lady know the song? Honestly. She really rapping too.
I think that I should explain that he's their criminal lawyer and not their entertainment lawyer. So people don't think, you know, like see that that's
there's
a big difference between a criminal lawyer and an entertainment lawyer. He's a lot of the rappers in Atlanta. He's their criminal. That guy who just very unfortunate got shot, King Von, he was his criminal lawyer too. That's very sad.
I really need to meet your brother because I need him to introduce me to Drake. That's my husband. So we need to work on that.
Don't know if he's You know what it is? Like, he's not their entertainment lawyer. So it's like, I hope Drake didn't get in trouble. If he didn't get in trouble.
Oh, it's like, if he's working with Drake, it's like, oh, what did he do? Y'all are out here. Oh, Jesus. Okay. So let's dive into Don't Text That Man, Rhonda. What is, it's called Don't Text That Man, A Guide to Self-Protective Dating in the Age of Technology. What is self-protective dating? What do you mean by that?
It's taking care of yourself, having boundaries, trying not to get hurt, having self-esteem. It's like basically just taking care of yourself and protecting yourself from not getting hurt, if that's possible. Because, you know, yeah.
And honestly, how are we supposed to do that? I'm asking for me, because I have a hard time when I do meet men, and whether it turns into a relationship or we're just dating, how the fuck am I supposed to protect myself? Because I use my whole heart. I use my whole heart when I care. So what are some tips to self-protective dating?
It's a really hard line. It's like you're sort of skating, or you're trying to, you know, you're trying to like balance. Because when you do love somebody, you are going to become vulnerable. It's part of the
even when you just like
them. There's like a vulnerability to it, and it's part of the enjoyment of, I think, being in a relationship or liking somebody, having a crush on somebody, is you make yourself vulnerable. But then the negative side to it is that you can get hurt, because when you make yourself vulnerable, it's possible that if the person does something like rejects you in any way, or just does anything kind of rejecting kind of behavior, you may feel injured and damaged, and that pain is very bad. I mean, it can be traumatizing. Some people, they don't even date because they don't want to get traumatized from the pain.
I feel like I should probably be one of those people that doesn't want to date, because you're going to get traumatized from the pain of these men taking your feelings and putting them in a blender and literally making it into a smoothie so they can drink it and use it for their pre-workout.
The whole thing, though, is it depends. If it's important to you to be in a relationship and explore relationships, you just have to learn how to recover from the trauma. So I think that's what my books are really about, is how to recover from the trauma of something bad happening or painful happening from a relationship. So I'm the kind of person, like in my life, I always say I have the soul of an artist, and I always want to take risks sometimes and get involved with situations that I know maybe not the most healthiest functional relationship, but I'll maybe want to experience it. I find the man very attractive, or I have this great connection with this guy, knowing that there may not be a future, and I don't care sometimes. I mean, not maybe so much now, but when I was younger, especially.
You're like, I don't care. I want to experience this, you know?
Because that's why I say I have a soul of an artist. Like, I want to write it. I want to see what it's like. This is like, this is my life. I just want to, if I want to feel passion with this guy. And I don't even mean sexual passion. I even mean romantic passion, or, you know, that intense connection with somebody. So I want to feel it. And then I know, though, if it doesn't work out, I know how to get over it. And it's not easy, but it's a toss up. It's like you either don't experience life and then you won't get hurt, or you experience life and you may get hurt and you have to try to know how to recover.
I totally agree with that. I think that's how a lot of my heartache comes about. I don't take things slow. I think that I kind of have a 50-50 soul of an artist. Like, I definitely like to feel things. I want to experience so many things. And when I meet a man, and it's like this story, every time I meet men, it's like this storybook meeting. It's like passion before we've even had sex. And then it ends up being like, we do all of these intimate things in one night of meeting each other. It's like, I met a guy in Greece, and I met him on Tinder. And while Tinder's supposed to just be like a hookup app, I met this man. We went on this Beauty and the Beast type date. We skipped on cobblestone. I mean, it was like a storybook. He could barely speak English, but we could tell by each other's body language that we were so interested in each other. We rode on his little motorcycle. He took me to his parents' cafe. We drank vino. And it was so incredible. And I was like, I should probably slow down. I could get kidnapped. I probably shouldn't take him to my hotel room and fuck him. But that's exactly what I did. And it was a great experience. I never spoke to him again. I wish he would have been my husband, but he wasn't. I have a lot of experiences like that because I like to feel that passion, but it does lead to a lot of heartache.
It also depends.
And I, unfortunately, I don't be knowing how to get over it. I'm not a bitter mm-hmm. woman, and I know how to move past, but I hold on. I do hold on. Like, maybe they'll
but
come
Medina,
back.
But Medina, you have gotten over it. I mean, because you do move on. I mean, maybe it feels like you aren't, but you are moving on. You're not sitting around mm-hmm. in your apartment and just not going out and just thinking about the guy from Greece. Like, you have moved on to other men.
Not the guy from Greece, but 6'8", bae. Yeah,
well, but I are do. You... still like literally sitting around not doing anything and thinking about it, or are you doing seeing
I'm excessively dating?
That's moving on in a way. I mean, look, it takes people sometimes a long time to get over somebody. I mean, I'm a very slow healer, so I may seem like I'll get over a person, but like there'll still be lingering thoughts about them, or I'll have to write about them. I have mm-hmm. to create art over them. I have to write a book about them. So that's my way of working it through. But it could, I mean, I can be working on different projects over the years over one person, but it's like every year that's passing, they become more and more of a distant memory. Yeah. Irrelevant. But it may take me a very long time.
Do these men that you write books about, do they know that you're writing about them? Because I would send them a book. I'd be like, here you go.
No, I mean.
Read it.
I think that they have a general idea, but you know what? I think a lot of the guys that I've been involved with are too narcissistic to think that I would write about them. That's not me. I'm not fucked up like that. And also,
have you ever had a man reach out and be upset? Like, hey, is this about me?
You know, they've never done that. I think that, oh, this is funny though. Oh, like around, I think after Don't Call That Man came out, I did, some man reached out to me from when I was in my early 20s, and we went out for a day, just, you know, see what, how our lives turned out or whatever. And then he saw, I gave him the copy of Don't Call That Man. And he was, I went to the ladies room with him, and he was looking through it, and he saw the description of the men that I would get involved with who maybe were like my father. I don't know, psychoanalyzing myself in it. And so he's driving me home, and he said, I'm really sorry that I, like, because I know, like, that was, you were describing, I'm like, no, boyfriend, I wasn't even thinking of you. Like, he was one of the guys that I did not write about, you know, he was just some guy I dated.
Oh, and he thought that he was, like, a topic of discussion. It's like,
he was
sir.
Not one of the men that had a hard time, like, when the thing was over with him, like, I forgot about him a week later. You know, he wasn't one of those.
It was like, I don't even, what's your name?
I know, I was like, oh, don't flatter yourself. I told him too. He didn't even know. This is like a million years later. I said, while I was seeing you, I was seeing somebody else, and he's who I was writing about. Like, I was thinking about that guy. He didn't even know. I was such a player in my early 20s.
Rhonda, are you dating now?
Right now, I'm not dating anybody. I'm not dating anybody right now. First of all, I'm scared to death of getting COVID-19. I'm very
you're better than me,
intense.
Girl. I went on four dates. 2 weeks ago, I went on four dates in 1 week.
Well, you think.
But I'm COVID-free.
Well, that's good, you know, because you really have to be careful.
What was dating
like? By the way,
like,
are you dating like
back in your day?
Are you dating through the Zoom thing? Or are you actually going in person to see them in person?
Oh no! I'm actually going on the dates. I can't. I don't think I would be able to sit through a Zoom date. I would be bored.
Do you like sitting far, doing social distancing, or no?
No. But okay, I have been tested for COVID, and I don't have it.
Okay. Well, still be careful.
I mean. You know. I will, Mom.
We only have a few more months to go. Then we'll be, you know, take the vaccine, and then you're good to go. What was you asked me about the difference between dating back in the day and dating now?
Yeah, dating back in the day to dating now, since we do have all of this technology, and it men have every woman at their, you know, they can just text or swipe, or you just have access to so many things. You can get instant sex, instant connections. I mean, any type of way. What was it like back then before all the social media?
The big
and
difference between now and then is the whole thing, technology, the texting. Like, for instance, if you were dating a guy who had, like, he was a shy guy and was afraid to go out to meet you or go on a date, he had no choice. If you were a man and you wanted any kind of attention mm-hmm. from a woman, any kind of contact, you had to get out of the house and go to a club, or you had to go on a date, you know. And now guys, you know, that a man who has severe social problems can actually have relationships with women through the sexting and the texting and all this, like, carrying mm-hmm. on. So there are so many men who have severe issues who are who are engaging in different kind of relationships with women. And none of that existed back in my day. You really had you had to have real contact with people. You had to leave the house.
If you're looking to upgrade your playroom this Black Friday, look no further. Peaches and Mangoes is an online adult retailer that spreads sex positivity with their expressive clothing and a curated collection of the top sex toys on the market. They're owned and operated by a Black active duty military couple who believes that people should use sex toys to explore their pleasure and feel comfortable expressing their sexual nature freely. They even offer exclusive novelty merchandise. Stay updated on new releases by following them on Instagram and Twitter at PeachesXMangoes and subscribe to their email list by visiting their site www.peachesmangoes.com. Use code COCKTAIL15.
So would you say that back then, like, dating, when you met someone, you really got to know who they really were? Right now, people can fake it for real until you fall deeply.
Well, you know, the disadvantage, though, is we didn't have social media. So it maybe equals out because we didn't know a lot about. Like, now you can just go find out about somebody or just, I don't know, somehow you can, like, look people up. Even if they don't have an account, you can just Google them, or you can just go crazy with trying to figure somebody out. But back then, there was no way. I mean, people were more anonymous. So it equals out in that sense.
So when you were dating, what has dating been like for you? Really, like, in each phase of your life? Were you, some people just have they have bad experiences dating. Some people have great experiences dating. I'd like to say that I have really great experiences dating. My heart be getting broken with relationships. But as far as, like, dating and meeting men, I have great dates. What was dating like for you?
I had different phases too. When I went to graduate school in Chicago, it was the first time I lived in a city. So I remember I used to want guys, that's why I'm going to ask for the sugar daddy thing. It wasn't a sugar daddy, but a friend of mine called it dating for males. Like, we would try to get them to take us to, like,
dating
yeah.
for
like
meals?
Get them to take us to the play. In those days, the Playboy Club, you couldn't get into it. Like, you needed a key. I mean, you know, you had to have a membership. So we'd get guys to take us to the Playboy Club. I had a roommate, like, you know, like, the women were just like, we could care less about the guys. We were just trying to get to go to all the fancy restaurants. And I got a guy two guys, and I came back to New York, taking me to Studio 54. I couldn't get into Studio 54, you know, without standing online, you know. It was just like, you would want, I was, you know, I sort of see what you're saying. I'd want to go on really good dates, like, get them to town.
So you were popping.
I was popping back in the days. That's why I'm burnt out.
So I'm curious to know.
I'm just exhausted.
You said I'm burnt out. And we were talking about, I don't think I'll ever get burnt out. You think so?
I haven't been your age. I was like, I was just like you. There's no way I'm burning out. No. And then it's just life, you know, life really takes a look what's going on with this, you know, the whole pandemic thing. I mean, life will just, you know, I can't explain it. Life will have its way with you sometimes. Like, you'll think that you'll have your way with life, and life will just be like, you know, I don't want to be pessimistic, yeah. But
I feel you.
You go through things and it just, you know, life can be very, I mean, it can be very rewarding. It can be very exhausting too. That's what I mean.
Especially with these men. I'm exhausted. I'm tired. Husband, if you are out there, if you got stuck in quicksand, please send me the signal. I will come help you. Okay. I'm curious to know, Rhonda, tell me your best and worst. One best date, one worst date.
I'll start with the worst and I'll go to the best.
I hope it's the one that you told me about.
Oh, the worst date? I just thought of
the worst date.
Honestly, I thought of something else I didn't tell you, but I think I should tell you. I went on a date with this guy, and I guess we were fooling around, and I just decided, I just really wasn't that attracted to him. I didn't feel any kind of real emotional connection. It was just a date. It was a guy I went out with, and he got mad, and he wouldn't let me out of the car. He locked the door. It was, like, frightening. No, it was very frightening that he wouldn't let me out. It was, you know, so it could have led to something very serious.
Well,
so that was, like, the worst date. I mean, it's like a horror show.
But tell the other worst one, because that was really funny.
Oh, the pipes? The glass pipes? Oh.
Yeah.
It really wasn't the worst date, though. But I'll tell you the story. But it wasn't I really liked that guy. He was fun. I actually saw him after that. It wasn't the worst date. There was this guy that I met. He was a really fun guy. I lived in Queens. He was a Queens guy. he was really nice. He was really cute. And so we decided, I don't know, we met each other. I don't remember. It's just like a normal place. And we talked. And we said, he called me. It was, everything was normal. Called me up. Don't forget, it's a long time ago. This is like, we're talking about the 80s. And in those days, you call a woman, not texting, call a woman up, you ask her out, you know? Okay. And he came to my apartment outside, and I was going to be, we're going to go out to have a drink at a bar. And he's, I don't know how he started, but he said, he said he had some stuff, like, it was hard for him to walk. And I'm like, what's going on with you? And he lifted up his pants, and he had the glass pipes for cocaine, like freebasing cocaine, like all in his pants. And I was looking, I didn't know what they were. I'm like, why the glass in your pants?
Rhonda.
Not crack in, gutter, cocaine. In the legs. It was glass and everything. And then he explained it to me about free. In those days, there was no such word as crack. It was a freebasing cocaine. Mm-hmm. That was when Richard Pryor's hair went on fire from freebasing. So everybody knew about it from his hair going on fire. And so he explained to me that was free, this was freebase cocaine. And he explained the whole thing to me.
Were you scared?
I don't remember being, I was very fearless. I mean, I think that I had too much, like, what's the word? I don't know. I think I have good instincts. Like, mm-hmm. I knew that guy was, he was looking, you know what, honestly, he was divorced, and he was living back home with his parents, mm-hmm. until I guess he got his own place, and he needed a place to go do crack, well, now it's called crack, he needed a place to go freebase. So I was, he didn't use me for sex, he used me to have a place, a space to go freebase. I let him come upstairs.
And you were like, he's a good guy.
I let him come upstairs.
He does crack, but he's a great guy. Okay, best date. Tell me your best date.
I haven't really, since we talked about it, I've been thinking about it. I'm going to go with that story that I told you that, and this was not very recent, but this was in my recent history, that there was somebody that I knew, who I actually met in person, but then we both lived in two different cities. Mm-hmm. So after we met, we continued to have a long distance relationship, and it just grew from the different circumstances in our life. It grew very romantic, and we finally decided, I'm a big traveler, and like, I'll just go hop on a plane, and you know, we talked about it, right? I'll hop a plane, go visit somebody. So I decided, I was going through a bit of a hard time. My personal life had nothing to do with him. So I said, you know what, that's it. Like, let's just finally, you know, get together. So I went to see him, and we met up I was waiting for him in a hotel, beautiful hotel. And we had at that point a really intense emotional connection. And so when I finally, and he was a little bit late, and I always remember when he showed up. I mean, I'll never forget it. I'm going to start crying.
Are you about to cry? It's okay.
No, it was like so fucking romantic. It's like, it was like a prince. Like, I felt like he looked like a prince, you know, and he was.
Because did he have on a prince suit?
Although we loved Prince, the singer, but he didn't look like Prince. He just looked so handsome, you know, and I was so happy to see him. I literally ran into his arms. I literally ran into his arms.
So it was like a Disney movie.
It was like a movie. It was like a romantic movie. And then we, you know, later we actually like consummated our friendship, and it was so intense because we already had a relationship before we were sexual for the first time. So that was very unusual. It's like unusual for me. And I think for a lot of people nowadays, unless they're very religious people, most people have sex very quickly. So due to the long distance thing and the, you know, we already had, it's very unusual for me to have like an intense emotional connection and then have sex the first time when you already have the connection. Mm-hmm. It was, so that's definitely my best date. Cause it was just, it was like so fucking romantic.
Mm-hmm. I love great dates.
Have you ever had an awkward he can't perform moment where the tree was hidden in the bushes? Thankfully, we have Manscaped, the best gift of all. to thank for making the tree stand a little bit taller. Have you ever been like with your guy and he just has this totally untamed bush down there? The Manscaped Performance Package comes with all the tools to clean up the delicate places. Inside, you will find the most popular electric trimmer, and it's called the Lawnmower 3.0. Their Lawnmower 3.0 has proprietary advanced skin-safe technology, so this trimmer not only reduces cuts on your man's nuts, it's not gonna have you having hair stuck in your teeth. You'll also get their Crop Preserver and Crop Reviver to help reduce ball sweat, smell, and stickiness. We have joked about like sweaty, musty balls before, ladies. And guys, you know what we're talking about. Think about how much better your balls will feel with a little deodorant, basically. All the products smell really nice. Their manly scent is attractive and will help spice up the mood. If nothing else, Manscaped only uses the best ingredients, so you only have the best experience. These formulations are all vegan, cruelty-free, dye-free, sulfate-free, and paraben-free, so you know his manhood is in good hands. And the icing on the cake, the Performance Package comes with their Weed Whacker ear and nose hair trimmer. It's time to keep your ear and nose hairs looking as nice as your clean shaven pubes. Now you can have sexy time with top performance. Thank you, Manscaped, for making our sex lives better. And ladies, this is a perfect gift for your man. Trust me, he will thank you. Head on over to manscaped.com. Use code COCKTAILS for 20% off and the free shipping. These balls are going to be thanking everybody. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code COCKTAILS at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use code COCKTAILS. XOXO from Rudy the Naughty Reindeer. The Rev Beauté is what is going to keep us feeling glamorous. These lashes make me feel so great. I haven't been able to keep up with my lash extensions like I used to, but these lashes are way fuller, way more glamorous than any other lashes that I've had before. I just felt so beautiful and so glamorous for my bedroom Instagram shoots. The Le Rev Beauté Lash System has pressure-sensitive adhesive technology, Mystique eyeliner that allows Le Rev lashes to just pop right on. Mystique eyeliner is just like any other eyeliner, waterproof, smudge proof, no stickiness, no mess. It comes in 6 different colors, so if violet isn't your thing, that's okay. They have so many beautiful colors and you've got to try them out. If you can put on eyeliner, you can put on these lashes. I know lashes maybe isn't for everybody, or you don't know how to put them on, you don't want to have your eyelash like glued to your eyebrow, just try them out. The best way to experience this lash system is by subscribing to the Beauté Box. You get 2 lashes and 1 Mystique eyeliner that'll be delivered to your doorstep every month, as well as free cosmetics each month. Today, we're offering our listeners an extra set of lashes and Mystique eyeliner when you subscribe to the Beauté Box. That's 3 sets of lashes and 2 eyeliners in your first box. I know you're going to love this lash system as much as I do. Go to lerevbeauté.com/cocktail. And use the code COCKTAILS at checkout to get an extra set of lashes and Mystique eyeliner. That's LEREVEBEAUTE.com/cocktails, COCKTAILES. And now let's get back to the show.
Speaking of people having sex very quickly, it made me think of something, because I've been talking about this a lot with different friends, having sex very quickly, and I myself have been trying to stop, but I'm curious to know. I have had a lot of casual sex in my life, and lately I've been wondering, like, I wonder if this is normal, because my sister doesn't do that, and my mom wasn't like that, and so I'm wondering if I am a hoe. And I wanted to know, when you were younger, did you have a lot of casual sex? Like, was that normal for you? Or were you the girl that was like, you're going to have to work to get this, or I'm going to wait 90 days?
I have a lot of like mixed feelings about it now. Looking back on my life, I think I did sleep with guys too quickly. Especially like when I just told you this story, let me tell you, that was a learning experience for me. Cause that was like life put me in the position to have to wait and then have that sexual experience with somebody I had such an intense connection to. That was a learning experience. And I think, like, mm-hmm. if I learn that later on and I could jump into a time machine, I think a lot of the guys I did sleep with so quickly, I don't think I would have slept with them now. Because now I know what it felt like. It's, like, so mm-hmm. different when you have sex with somebody mm-hmm. and, yeah, you're sexually attracted to them, but there's no connection or a little connection. Then when you really have feelings for somebody and then have sex – So I think I did sleep with, and also it's a different time era. In my, that time era was sort of the sexual revolution, like it was really starting. It was after the pill and then the disco era, and people did, all my friends.
After the what?
It was like the disco era where like people.
You said after the pill, the birth control pill
came out in the 60s. And then everybody started sleeping with, you know, the women became more independent. Like they could now have sex with men and not have babies.
Oh, they were like, you can't get pregnant.
So women just started just having sex when they felt like, because they didn't worry about pregnancy. And then it went from that to women just starting to just own that. And they weren't like, okay, no, I have to. Now they just, it was just like part of life. Like if you wanted to have sex with a guy, you could have sex and not get pregnant. So I just, a lot.
That's crazy to think of a time when there wasn't birth control pills. I just never have really thought about that. Like, cause in my lifetime, there's always been preventatives.
Yeah, it was, I think maybe mine was the first generation of women who just didn't have to worry about it anymore. Like there was all different kinds of birth control.
I'm glad I wasn't in that generation because I would have been pregnant.
No, no. My generation is when you didn't have to worry about it children. Anymore. The generation before, I mean, like you would, but mine was the first generation that was it. Like you don't have to worry. Like it wasn't just the pill. There was the diaphragm. There was the IUD. I can't remember. Yeah, IUD. It was like now it's like you can just go to your gynecologist and you can get birth control and you don't have to worry about it anymore. Mm-hmm. So I think that a lot of my women friends were all just having a lot of sex.
Did you ever wonder if you were a hoe?
I don't know. I have a lot of mixed feelings about, I mean, I don't know. When I think about my life, I was like, when we talked about the whole thing with like the three ways and all that, I just really like having sex. I mean, maybe not. I don't know what's going on now. But back in the day, there were just so many hot looking guys around. I don't know. And I was very attractive and men wanted to have sex with me too. So I could just go into a bar and like pick who I wanted if I wanted to have, you know, I mean, young woman.
You were like.
I used to like to have sex with guys and it was, I don't know.
Look, it's not to be ashamed of.
You didn't have to worry about getting pregnant, but you didn't have to worry about HIV. There was no AIDS. It didn't exist. So you didn't have to worry about that. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, I guess I could. You know what? It's really just like a lifestyle. Like I said, I have a soul of an artist. I think as an artistic person, I just wanted to explore these feelings. But some women did not, they didn't do that. They really, there were women in my life, or women that I knew later on, looking back on their lives, they're like what you're describing. They would, they wanted a relationship. Like that was, they didn't care about their sexual attractions or this, that. They just wanted to have,
they just wanted to be a relationship with
someone. And the sexuality part was sort of like the side thing. So I really don't even have an answer for, I'm very confused about that myself. About, I guess I lived my life in, you know, like the Frank Sinatra song. I did it my way, you know. I don't know. I don't think there's a right or wrong answer. Because I think each journey, there's something like good about it. You know, like I know women who they only have sex with a few guys and they're my age, but I've slept with a lot of guys. I'm not ashamed to say it anymore now. And so I had all those experiences in life that they didn't have, you know, and so honestly, that is why I was able to write these books because I did have a lot of experience with men and those women didn't, but then they never had to go through the traumas that you and I are talking about. They didn't experience maybe all that heartbreak of when it didn't last or, you know, the next day and, you know.
Speaking of experiencing the heartache and the heartbreak, moving on to letting go of a relationship, which so many people have a hard time sometimes doing. Have you ever been involved with a man that you just could not let go? I mean, I'm talking about even sometimes now, today, you're like, dang, I wonder what it would have been like with Henry.
I think everybody is. I've spoken to so many people, including men, who've been married a zillion years, who say they still think about somebody from their past. People like you wouldn't think would be thinking about, like they'd have grown-ass children, you know, who are, and they're still thinking about somebody from a million years ago. So I just think everybody's like that a little bit.
And what is that? Like the therapist, Rhonda, what is that? Like I have a person that I can't let go of, no matter what happens. I even feel like if I get married and have kids, I'm going to be wishing that those were his babies. What is that? Why is it hard to sometimes let go when it really is over?
I think because, well, it depends also on the relationship. I mean, sometimes we have an intense connection to somebody. By the way, to go back to the other thing, one of the bad thing about the sexual part, it does bond you to somebody. So it could just also be this, mm-hmm. you're having sex with a person and that makes you feel connected to them. It just, in general, I mean, the way our brain is programmed is to bond with people. If we didn't bond with people, there would be no civilization because then we wouldn't procreate. Mm-hmm. So our brains are organized mm-hmm. to want to stay, to attach to people and stay attached. So it's almost painful to detach in a like physiological way.
Mm-hmm. In your years of therapy, have you noticed that women have a harder time detaching as opposed to men? Because I feel like men can detach, like, even if y'all were in love, I feel like men can be like, oh, it's over. It's over. I'm on to the next and bye. While we are making a lukewarm bath and listening to Beyonce.
I think men have a hard time detaching also, but they use their sexuality to, they have sex with different women as a way of moving through it. So maybe it's easier for them to just go and have sex with somebody else and not feel these feelings of, it's like, I remember back in the days we're talking about, if I was going through a breakup and I slept with some guy just to get over some guy, I started crying. The guy was so insulted. He was like having sex with me. And I wasn't crying because I had a passion. I was crying because I missed my boyfriend. I know he was like, what?
What are you doing? He was probably
I missed my boyfriend so much. I was having sex with some guy. I started crying. So I'm not, women aren't, like a guy I think can, I'm making a generalization too. I mean, some men may dispute this with me. Mm-hmm. Like maybe they wouldn't be able to have an erection or something. I don't know. Maybe it would somehow, manifest in their sexuality. But in general, that expression, mm-hmm. like they think with their penises, I think in that case, they may be able to detach mm-hmm. from their feelings, have sex, enjoy the sex, and then walk away from it. And that's, let's say they're going through a breakup mm-hmm. with Nancy and they're upset about Nancy, mm-hmm. then they'll go and have sex with Susan and enjoy the sex with Susan and maybe even thinking about Nancy, but then they walk away from Susan feeling, mm-hmm. okay, that was good. They're not gonna start crying like I did, and that'll mm-hmm. help them not think about Nancy anymore because they just, I don't know, whatever goes on with men after they have sex, like release some of their attachment or their feelings. And I think they also, they do distract themselves with sport. I mean, this sounds so, it's like I'm stereotyping them, but it really is true. There's this one other thing I want to tell you that I noticed about the difference between men and women that does disturb me. As a therapist now, mm-hmm. when I would have men going through a breakup coming to see me, and I have women coming to see me, it seems the men find new girlfriends a lot sooner. I mean, relationship girlfriends.
Oh my gosh, yeah,
I'm
within
not talking
weeks.
About
so you're like,
to fuck his way through his feelings. I'm talking about they literally find a new girlfriend. I'm like, I can't believe I have like beautiful women coming to see me and like they're struggling. I can't find somebody. I'm a million apps, blah, blah, blah. And they'll say the guy, and he's like, have like a new girlfriend in like 2 months. They're in a big relationship.
He's already been through two girlfriends. That is something that has always been like, my last heartache happened a year ago on my birthday. It marked a year. When it happened, I have not had another boyfriend since. He has already been through two or three women and looks very happy. And I'm just like, wow, like you came through and fucked my shit all the way up. And now you're just like, when he's in Atlanta, I see him on Hinge. He's on Hinge. He's just, and I'm like, I'm having a hard time, bro. I'm having a hard time.
It's hard. I know.
And I don't know. I'm trying to detach, Rhonda. I'm not that great at it.
It's hard. It's really hard work.
So I want to know, speaking of it being work, it and since work. You are a therapist and you help people through things like this, what are some tips that you can tell me and our listeners? What are some tips on letting go? What can we practice?
Well, there could be the times.
People need to know.
I think you're doing a good job because you're out there dating and meeting new men. When I think about somebody who really can't let go, they're just constantly thinking about the person. They're not out there. They're not trying to date, like nothing. That's a really bad case. But you're out there. You're trying to meet somebody new. You may just meet somebody new. You may meet somebody eventually and connect with this new person and he will become like a distant memory. So you just haven't found this person to have that intense connection with, but it could definitely, it could happen tomorrow because you're really trying as opposed to somebody who's not trying. But if you're thinking, I mean, a lot of the work I do with is like, if you're thinking you want to make a contact, the whole thing is the work is to like, just here are some simple things. You don't be friends with them on social media. Don't look them, try your hardest. It's very hard. Don't look them up on, you know, what you saw him on, like whatever. Try not to look them up. It takes a lot of self-discipline. And okay, it's hard nowadays. It's like back in the day we're talking about, that's it. Like you stop seeing somebody, you just try hard not to run into them in a nightclub. Oh, I hope they're not going to, you know, like so-and-so tonight. And then you're going to see them or somebody doesn't tell you. But nowadays, they're all over the place. You have to try to use self-control on social media. Okay. If you start having like any kind of longings to reach out to them, like, oh, like what would happen with you and me when you were coming down and you saw me in the hallway and I told you don't text him. So that was really good for you. That was like, you know, the universe working in your direction. Try to get somebody like I did for you to tell you don't reach out to him. So like you just lucked out, but in case you don't have somebody in the hallway that's doing that, then you have to contact a girlfriend, a relative, anything to tell you don't make a contact. Like, it's all about not making a contact.
So when you get the urge to call him, call your girlfriend, call your mom, call somebody.
Don't reach out.
Distract yourself.
Distract yourself. And also, like if you're, let's say you're watching a movie or something and it's they're triggers and reminds you of him, turn off the movie. You know, whatever's triggering you, turn it off. If you're, I don't know, you're walking down the street and you see, I don't know, there's just something. Well, that's a stupid example. I don't know. But, you know, whatever it is that reminds you of him, try not to disconnect from the thing that's reminding you of him. And also, I think I was telling this to you also.
So if he comes to Atlanta a lot and he hits you up every time he comes to Atlanta and he's like, dinner, you should should you block his number?
If you can't control.
Or just keep the number open and just text him back. No.
Well, let me go into that thing. Now, if this guy, like you're trying to let go of him and he contacts you when he comes in here and wants to take you out to dinner. Is that what you're saying? Then you should, if you're trying to let go of him, you should definitely not go out to dinner with him. If your goal.
What if you're hungry?
Well, what's more important? Your mental health or you can feed yourself. You know how to grocery shop and cook.
Okay.
You know, back in graduate school, you really can't afford to go buy food. No, but you know, I mean, no, if you're trying to let go of somebody, you shouldn't go out. You have to make a decision. You have to make a choice. Do I really want to get over this guy or I don't? So if you really want to get over him, if he contacts you, you should definitely not go out with him. And you shouldn't even answer the phone if he's contacting you. I mean, why is he doing that? Mm-hmm. Why is he, if you guys are not together, like why, you don't have to go into the whole story, but what would be his motivation to contact you, to ask you out, just in general, if he knows you guys are not together?
I think it's because our connection was so strong and honestly, the sex is so amazing that I personally think that's what
okay,
it is.
Okay, so
the sexual chemistry
that we share. Is there
going to
be a hookup after the dinner?
Whenever I see him,
see,
there's
that,
a
that bonds
and I know
you
that
again.
It's toxic.
So then you have to make a decision whether or not you, if you want to let go of him, then you can't have sex with him anymore. I'm really sorry. I know that sounds like a cliche thing to say, but it's so true. Because once you have sex with the person.
Why do we do this to ourselves, Rhonda? Why do we do this to ourselves? And I've heard a lot of women share these stories. Why do we go back to it knowing that it's going to end in a lukewarm bathtub, drinking wine and getting drunk and listening to Beyonce? Why do we do it?
I mean, there's several reasons. I mean, sometimes we just, maybe the experience you have and the sexual experience is so super fantastic. You want to have it again, but then you have to make a choice. It really comes down to a choice. It's not even if I psychoanalyzed you and, you know, and we were going into a whole thing about your past and your childhood, it's still going to come back to the same thing. You're still going to have to make a choice. Do you want to get over this guy or not? So, you know, what's the benefit? Like, is the agony of in the bathtub listening to Beyonce after the great sex, is that worth the great sex? It's kind of come down to that at the very end. You know, sometimes it's...
You mentioned something in a previous conversation with you and I about being a masochist.
Okay, we can talk about breakup sex or just about... Well, I think that if a person has sex with somebody, and they're breaking up or they broke up, it could be masochistic. And masochistic is when you like to suffer. Now, it doesn't mean that the person really likes to suffer, but there could be some like a sexual enjoyment in like the drama, like, oh, like I'll never see him again. This is it. And it could actually be erotically stimulating. I know it sounds like people who are not That's in psychoanalysis crazy. And they hear this, they may think like, what is she talking about? But there, some people, not some people, a lot of people find it erotically stimulating to feel that suffering. It's not pain, but suffering. And they connect mm-hmm. it with sexuality. It could be orgasmic for them. That can actually give them the orgasm. I mean, you know, like some people like to be spanked, you know, like that's okay. The most typical thing about masochism is somebody who would like to, and I know that people use that as play, you know, sexual play. But I'll use a sexual play as to sort of to explain it. So when somebody gets spanked, even if it's just for fun, that pain mm-hmm. is the sexual charge when the person's doing that. So mm-hmm. what's really bad though, it's not that, because that's consciously done. And that's like, we're doing it because we're having foreplay. But when it's really, when you're mm-hmm. really suffering, when somebody is hurting you and you know that they're going to reject you after the sex is over, they're going to go home to somebody else, that's true suffering. That is pure, like, you're feeling a masochistic feeling if you get pleasure from the pain of that rejection and you match it with sex and an orgasm, then it's masochistic. Little psychoanalysis 101. Well, remember 50 Shades of Grey? I mean, that's what that was all about.
Yes. You
know? And that was sadomasochistic though. Sadism is when you cause the person to suffer. So the person who's doing that, like when in case you want to get analytic about that guy, let's like really, you know, tear him apart. Maybe he's a little sadistic. Okay. Mm. I'm really going for it now, Bedina. So you may have to edit this out.
What in case really I'm blocking his number. What in case
I'll get you so scared. You'll never talk to him again. What in case, okay. Brace yourself. Okay. What in case he gets off on it sadistically and he likes, oh, I'm going to have sex with Bedina and then she's going to suffer afterwards. And then he gets a charge out of that. I'm not saying that's true. I'm saying this as a generalization. Like if I were writing a book, mm-hmm. new book, I would just use that. And I don't really know Medina. I have no idea. Maybe he just loves having sex. He just enjoys it. And he wants to see you again. He can't make a commitment. He has commitment phobia, whatever. I don't know. But mm-hmm. so I'm tweaking it just to give you an example of a guy who would get off on hurting a woman emotionally, and that would give him a charge. You get a sadistic thrill out of it. So I'm just using it as an example.
Mm-hmm. I feel you. No, I appreciate the honesty, and you're my therapist.
So that would be a sadomasochistic relationship. Like he's being sadistic, and if you're taking it, then you're being masochistic, and then it's a sadomasochistic situation.
So yeah, all of that.
And it may not be Medina. I don't know if you're here thinking I'm in a sadomasochistic situation.
It is. I need to hear that it is. Another situation that I wanted to bring up that a lot of people deal with are friends with benefits. Do you think that is toxic or not?
I am very, that relationship I told you about when I started tearing up, that was a friends with benefits thing. And I think when I very first met you, I told you about that's why that ended, by the way. The agreement was we both lived far away from each other. We were both mm-hmm. not in a situation to really have a serious relationship. And our agreement was friends with benefit. It was an agreement and I couldn't do it. Mm-hmm. I like fell in love with him when I spent a week with him as a friend. I was like ready to get married. I'm like, you better marry me. I'm just kidding.
I mean, I don't know many friends with benefit situations.
Like, you know, I'm past the age I can have children. I wanted to have his baby. Like, can I like, oh damn, I wish I froze some eggs now. I want to have a baby with you. That was the end of it. And then
you want to be his baby mama.
I want your baby. And I can't even have it. No, but it's like, that was, oh my God. He got mad at me because I was like really mad at him. Like, you're just like, use me. Because what are you talking about? That was the deal. Remember, we're friends.
So he got mad at you because really you were going against the agreement.
I'll admit it. I was really mad at him because I wanted him to want to have a big relationship with me too.
And he didn't. He was like, you knew what it was. You knew what it was. And I feel like that's how a lot of friends with benefit situations go. It's not.
Let me go back. You see the sadomasochistic. See, I cut it off because I felt for me to continue with that would be masochistic on my part. I just wanted to go back to the other thing, connect it all together. I'm a turning to a therapist.
So you completely cut it off.
I had to cut it off. And then I blocked him and he got mad at me. He goes, I can't believe you blocked me.
But you did what was best for you.
I think he got mad at me that I blocked. And just like the whole thing deteriorated. Because then I thought what was best for me is to block him, to try to forget him. And then a month passed and I couldn't take it anymore. And then he was very, very angry at me. I just cut him off completely. And he was mad at me for cutting him off. The whole thing just fell apart. But do you see how that turns into, and he thought I was being sadistic to him because I was completely abandoning him. And he felt masochistic and I was a sadist. See, that's why I didn't want you to feel offended or like, oh my God, what did she say?
I don't never feel offended.
No, you know
girl.
What I mean about the sadomasochistic. Like that, like all of us can get into these sadomasochistic things.
Yeah, no, it's not.
And there could have been a sadistic component to him too. He may have been mad at some, you know.
Do you feel that friends with benefits is a toxic situation?
Okay, so go back to what I was saying is that I'm very bad at friends with benefits. That was the whole reason I told that story. I cannot do friends with benefits. I would have to really just be having sex with a man and not be that attracted to him to do friends with benefits. Mm-hmm. And I can't at this point.
Like literally all you want is that dick. Right. That's what it would have to be for me. Yeah. But that's hard for me. Like, it's like, if our sex is that great, that means we are really connecting on another level. And now I'm sprung and I like you. And we're probably gonna be sprung off of each other. I can't do the friends with benefits situation. No, you're mine.
And I'll never do that. I mean, I don't know if I'm gonna get a situation like that ever again, because it was so passionate and we were friends, but I'll never do that again. Whatever time I have left in life, of romance and all that, I'm not doing that again.
Ladies and gentlemen, you know, be careful with your friends with benefit situations. If you need to write up and print out and sign your agreement and put it on your refrigerator so you can be reminded of what you agreed to so that you don't fuck it up, that's what you need to do. We're going to take a quick break and move on to Indecisive Diane. When we come back, Rhonda, you're going to help us give some advice to our listeners who wrote in. Okay.
Would you stop thinking about what everyone wants? Stop thinking about what I want, what he wants, what your parents want. What do you want? What do you want?
It's not that simple.
What do you want? What do you want?
Hey, ladies. It's the week of Thanksgiving. You should be thankful. And you know what I want you to do? I want you to pull your phone out, text Bae, whoever's on the top of your list, and tell him I'm thankful for you. Because rent's due next week, and you're going to pay it. Have a happy Thanksgiving, ladies. Bye.
Okay, and we are back. And Rhonda, we have a couple advice letters that our listeners sent in. I'm going to read them. And you are going to give us a little advice. Okay, so the first one, it is titled Torn! Exclamation mark. Okay, I totally love your show and how you guys ain't afraid to talk about sex and stuff. So, let me get to the point. I dated this guy for 5 months. We were super cool. Like, I knew I'd never have to start looking for another boyfriend. But he suddenly broke things off. Joke's on me. I felt really broken, and after a month of picking the pieces up and putting them together and trying to heal, he comes back and we continue flirting as if nothing happened. Deep down, I'd wish things would go back to normal, but I'm afraid if that will end things again. He does the little things that make me feel wanted, but I still am not sure if going back to him will be the right thing to do. My friends have warned me against it, but the heart wants what it wants, right? Please advise.
Well, you could give it one more try, knowing that like what he's done before, that it may happen again. I don't think there's any, especially her age, if she's young, the guy may be just immature and maybe just needs to grow up a little bit. So she's got to be strong, though, and know that he hurt her once, and he may hurt her. There's a high likelihood he's going to hurt her again. But there's also the possibility that maybe he won't do. He learned his lesson. So I'd say give him another chance but be realistic and practical and know that there's mm-hmm. a chance he's going to repeat the same behavior again.
I am going to tell sis, I personally think he's going to repeat mm-hmm. the same behavior, but if you're going to roll with the heart wants what it wants, I do that shit all the time. The heart is also going to be mm-hmm. crushed and crunched up in a blender. Have your fun. I also would need to bring up, just the type of person I am, at some point I would need to bring up how we just jump back into things like nothing ever happened. I need to talk about it just for a second, even if it's a drunken night and we bring it up. Like, you really just strolled back in here like shit didn't happen. I would need to bring
Medina,
that up.
You know what's good about, it would what's crush good me about not to. You is that you really feel like you have an entitlement to speak your mind, which is very healthy. That you don't want to be mm-hmm. played. You want, it's in the analytic world, it's called bringing the conscious, the unconscious to the conscious, which is very healthy. Mm-hmm. Like you don't, you want to pull the plug on bullshit. So that's very healthy of you. And that may possibly scare some men away because a lot of these guys, yeah.
All of them, it's scaring all of them.
And I know,
away,
I mean, that's been
they're
in my
all
life
running,
too.
They're sprinting.
You know, I'm a little bit more passive about the way I do it, but I basically do the same thing at the end of the day. I pull the plug on them. And that's, they don't like it. A lot of guys still, mm-hmm. they don't like it. They just want to do what they want to do. So that's, I think that's good advice that you gave her.
Okay. All right. Next advice letter. Hey, ladies. I recently started listening to the podcast earlier this year, and I absolutely love it. Thank you both so much for sharing your stories, tips, and advice. It has truly benefited my relationship. I am 29 and have currently been on and off with my boyfriend for 3 years. He was my first, and because of that, he was really patient with me in trying new things. I'm starting to become more comfortable in the bedroom, especially after listening to this show, and I wanted to get advice on how I can take charge and really be great in bed. At the moment, I feel like I may be coming off as lazy. I don't take charge, and my boyfriend almost always initiates sex. What are some tips you ladies have to really wow my man in the bedroom instead of him always taking charge and me occasionally getting on top? That, thanks so much, ladies.
I don't
know. Any tips, Rhonda?
This is not my specialty.
Taking that bag, girl.
You go first.
Did you used to be a take charge type of woman in the bedroom or
not?
Not
really. I mean, I'm an active participant, no. But... I'm more like the real super conventional romantic type.
Okay, you're into the
yeah,
passion, caressing,
exactly.
And doing
that's
all that.
That's why I can't
letting
do the
three-way.
I'm too passionate. I'm too like romantic. So I want him to like, do you love me? Like we're in love.
I would tell you, young lady, that sometimes you have to be your own hype woman. So sometimes when I am with a man that I want to take charge because I'm not normally a take charge type of woman either. But every now and again, you need to get some bills paid. But I make the environment what I need to excel. So maybe I need a playlist, a certain playlist with certain songs
that
get me in a mood
yeah.
to where nobody can really
I've had a playlist.
Tell
yeah.
me anything. I'm feeling okay. myself. Maybe I need to let my hair down. If it's normally up, let it down. Maybe I need to have a little makeup on, some sexy lingerie.
Oh,
you
okay.
put everything, yeah, you can make your own scene. Make the scene. And if you need to practice, I can't tell you how many times.
I've
called my best friends. Yeah, there have been so many times when I call my best friend, I FaceTime real quick. How do you think this looks? I'm going to dance for him really quick like this. How do you think this looks? Hype yourself up. If you need to take a shot, take a shot. But you're right. You are being lazy and stop being lazy. The next time you're about to fuck your man, get it together, girl, before somebody else fucks him.
Yeah, I like your advice. You know I didn't know what
that. That would be my advice.
That's good advice. I've done stuff like that. You know, like I would want to pick the music or...
create your scene, get it set like how you need it to be.
Yeah.
When I'm in the shower and I want to feel sexy or I'm taking a bath, like put some perfume on, do what you need to do to feel your sexiest. And here's what women overthink. Men don't even care about all that. First of all, he's going to think you're sexy regardless. If you just push him up against the wall and start kissing him aggressively, you've already started it. You've already started it. You got it. And you can do it. I'm looking at you. You got it.
So, I learned something tonight.
That is my advice.
That's what she meant. So I've learned something tonight.
Yeah, she just want to take a little charge. Get it, girl. You
I
got it.
I thought she meant like sexual tips.
Okay, if you guys ever want to send in any advice so Kiki and I can read it, send it to askcocktails@gmail.com and we will maybe pick it and maybe read it on the show. And now, Rhonda, it is time for our favorite portion of the show, the cocktail hour.
Once upon a time, not long ago, I was a ho.
This is the portion of the show where you share a personal story that relates to sex, dating, or a relationship. It can be funny, embarrassing, romantic, passionate, weird. We don't get it, but it's something that's true to you and your dating sexual life. And you share that story on this part of Cocktails. Do you want to go first, or do you need an example?
Because you inspired me from the last one. Cool. So I'll hear what you have to say first.
So I was going to read a cocktail, but I will just share my own cocktail. There's a man. We're referring to him as Johnny Appleseed. Hold on. My camera's kind of blurry. I've been referring to him as Johnny Appleseed, and I like him. I've been spending a little bit of time with him, and we hang out. I go to his house a lot. He doesn't live far from me, and I really enjoy his time. He doesn't have a girlfriend. He's not married. He seems like an honest man. So I enjoy his time. I have not had sex with him yet. I'm currently challenging myself to not dive so quickly into sex like I normally do. I'm just trying something different. And so I've spent the night with him a couple of times, and he's tried it. I've told him I'm not going to have sex with him. And so the last time I spent the night with him, it was the fourth time I spent the night with him. And we went to go eat, and then we both went our separate ways because we had just left the gym. I took a shower at my place. He took a shower at his place. And then I put on some night clothes. I put on a Fashion Nova set. And then I went over to his place and we watched a scary movie. He was like, let's have a scary movie. And I'm like, cool. So we cuddled up on the couch. We cuddle so well together, Rhonda. And we kiss and we do all that stuff. And we are watching the movie. And the movie's kind of boring. So he's like, do you want to go, you know, to bed? It was late and I had to wake up early. So I was like, yeah, sure. So we go lay down in the bed and I lay down, take my sweater off, but I still have a crop top on and some shorts, my Fashion Nova set. And I lay down in the bed and I turn around and he has dropped, he's butt booty hole naked. Like he's butt booty hole naked. And he's like, I sleep naked. And I was like, okay, cool. I didn't feel uncomfortable. I was like, that's fine. I like him. I'm attracted to him. He has a really nice body. I'm cool with it. I already told you we're not having sex. So he gets in the bed and he cuddles up next to me. And so we're just like kind of cuddling. And he's trying it. He's like kissing me on my neck. I'm kissing him. We're flirting. We're like fondling with each other. I whisper in his ear, hey, look, I'm still not having sex with you. Like I realize the position that we're in right now, but I'm not having sex with you. And he's like, he keeps trying. We had like foreplay. And I've never had a man do this to me before. He took his forearm. He takes his forearm, Rhonda, and he like starts rubbing it on my vagina. And it felt so good. I've never had any man. I was like, he is really trying. My leg is like up on his shoulder. I'm still in my mind. I'm really, what is the word I'm looking for? Not focused. I can't think of the word that I'm looking for, but I'm not having sex with him. I'm sticking to my guns. But the forearm in my pussy feels really good. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to go home because this is getting too hot and heavy. He's like, no. Okay, for real. I'll stop. I don't want you to leave. I don't want you to leave. I'm like, cool. So we fall asleep. I wake up in the middle of the night and I'm really hot because the Fashion Nova set was like this little fuzzy teddy bear material. So I was like, dang, I really need to take my shorts off, but I don't want him to, you know, try again. So he wakes up and I'm like, I'm going to take my shorts off, but it's only because I'm hot. I still had panties on. And I was like, are you going to be able to handle that? He's like, yeah, I'm fine. So he tries to have sex again, and I don't let it happen because, like I said, I'm controlling myself. I have self-control. That's the word I was looking for. And I don't have sex with him. We kiss. I'm like, I'm really not having sex with you. He's like, okay, fine. I'm going to stop. So we just cuddle. I wake up in the morning, and we leave. I haven't heard from him since.
Oh, are you upset that you haven't heard from him?
I'm upset. I am upset. But in the same sense, I am happy that I didn't have sex with him because I would be more upset. I would be sad if I had sex with him and he got that piece of me and then didn't talk to me anymore. And I've been, some of my friends told me that I was kind of in the wrong and I should have just left when he got naked instead of blurring these lines and letting him think he was going to have sex. But in my mind, I'm like, we're two adults. I said what I said.
Yeah. Okay. So, well,
that's my cocktail.
Does it have to be like something
I still like him. I think he will hit me up eventually because he didn't get it. And I will hang out with him again because I like him.
Does it have to be kinky? Can it just be a something about sex in general?
Yeah, it can be something about sex, dating, a relationship, anything. It's your world.
I
want to
say, this I found maybe as a woman, this is interesting. I, with all my being, you know, we're talking about being too casual, whatever, about sex, you know, whatever, when I was younger. I really, I lost my virginity. I was pretty much like, I was like, I don't know, 19. So I wasn't like a kid. And the first, this thing, I actually wrote a piece. I was reading at this at open mic. So it's not like I never talked about it before. But what I want to say is I found it the first time. It was like painful, like weird, you know, having this, this organ outside of your body. Like now it's in your body. So I wasn't like in the romance novels, like, oh, like, you know, an ecstasy, whatever. And then I think maybe it was the second or maybe the third time that I started to really like it. And I think that moment, that when you're a woman and talking about penetration, that especially if it's the same, like it's not just some guy, like you just gave your, you know, but it's really like a relationship or a boyfriend. Mm-hmm. And the first time that you're penetrated and you really feel the connection to the man and you really start liking it after the pain part is gone, like maybe this, I think that was very sexually significant something, you know, like an experience for me. That always like stand out in my mind. I think like it's.
Oh, your first time.
Yeah, but not the first time, Because it hurt the first time. It was not enjoyable. Like that's like, I remember after the first time I ever had sexual intercourse, I thought, was this the big thing that everybody's talking about? Like what's so great about it? It's what it hurt. It was maybe the third time I started liking it. The pain thing was over. Girl.
Third time's a charm. Yeah, you know what the third time I started,
then you get, that's when you get hooked. Because I remember people saying, oh, when's that having sex? You're going to get, oh, get out of here. And that's like when you start, it's that, because that's when now you don't feel the pain anymore. Now you're just feeling the good feeling. And that's when I think you can get addicted to the person. Because then I'm like, oh no, like I'm really addicted to this guy. Because not so much the sex, but it's because now I'm bonded to him. Like the oxytocin is running and, you know, the whole thing starts with the sexuality and the guy and, so I think that to me is my, I think that's, I mean, I don't really, I can't think of a really crazy sex story, you know,
that's
sorry.
Okay. We all have different types of cocktails. If you guys have any cocktails that you want us to read on the show, make sure you send them to cocktails.atl@gmail.com. And we would love to read it on the show. Rhonda, thank you so much for joining us this evening. Let our listeners know where they can find you. If you have anything coming up, now would be the time to let them know.
Well, my website is my name, rondafindling.com, RhondaFindling.com. And I was telling Medina that I made a decision yesterday that I am going to have a Don't Text That Man Zoom workshop. Like a group. It'll be a 90-minute group where women can discuss with their, like, so what we talked about tonight. Everybody can share, and I'll give my feedback as well. It's going to be pretty inexpensive. So just, but if anybody's interested in it, they should just, you can email me at RhondaDCTF for Don't Call That Man. Rhonda, Don't Call That Man. RhondaDCTM at AOL.com. And I will, or they can just go on my website, although it's not posted yet on my website, you know, and they can come, it'll be probably in a little before Christmas and everybody will be climbing the walls wanting to text that man.
And did you want to share your Instagram or your social media?
Oh my God. I don't even know. Just like go on Instagram, put my name in. Okay.
It's okay. You don't have to. You don't have to. It's fine.
Followers. No, definitely follow me on Instagram and on Twitter, but I don't know what it is. I can't even say,
Yeah, we'll find
put
it.
Put my name in.
And we'll put it
and
in
you
the
can
link.
Find it. Or go, no, I mean, go on my website and then you can go to Instagram and Twitter from my website. Or just put in a search engine. It's hard. I don't think there's any other. Actually, there is a Rhonda Findling out in LA, but it's not me. It's somebody else. We're not related.
So you guys check Rhonda out when you have a free moment. I do have a couple of her books.
They you can buy my books on there too.
Pretty entertaining.
Oh, and you can hear my raps on there too. If you really want to text him, you hear me rap. Don't text him.
Check her out. And you guys, as usual, follow the Cocktails Podcast on Instagram. Follow Kiki at Kiki Said So. I'm at Coffee Bean Dean. And until next time, you guys, goodbye.